All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
We've got a great guest joining us today. We're going to be discussing the art of selling memberships.
Ooh, fancy.
What a cool topic, right?
Yeah, I like it.
I know this show's all about being fancy, so.
Yeah, there we go. Right? There's the delayed response right on cue. Yeah, so Eric Russell is joining us today, and he is international number one best-selling author of the book, The Art of Selling Memberships. Great title.
Just happen to have one right there.
I thought you sold them all.
That's the gold edition. See, this is the first one that came out. I had this genius idea to do gold foil on the spine and on a thing, and I'm like, people are going to eat that up. You know what? Nobody ate nothing up.
Yeah.
They didn't care about the gold foil as much as I did, and it made the cost of the book like three times more.
Oh, wow. Lesson learned. No, well, there's your first lesson, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
Right out of the gates, we're just
dropping value.
Giving the lessons.
I love it. Love it. Well, we're glad to have you on. We'll get into talking memberships and selling memberships and specifically what area you do and then how that applies to other people in other places. But if you had to tease somebody, Eric, like what would be your teaser for this episode? Like, how would you tease it without giving away too much?
Well, we're going to, that's a good, let's see.
What put you on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, selling memberships is probably one of the most difficult sales to make in the world. What I'll share with you today are some things that help with selling memberships and some things that I've learned over the years. And if you apply them to other areas, and they do apply to other areas, really, is what I'm getting at. So whether you're I don't care what you're selling, you will be a better salesperson if you understand how memberships are sold. So we'll get into that a little bit.
I like that. I like that
People
a lot.
People think it's easy. That I thought it was easy when I got started. I'm like,
well, that's what the gurus say.
Everyone's fat. Let's go. You know, like I got a whole bunch of customers out there and they're coming to you saying, hey, I need to get in shape. How do you mess that up? Like, how does that not turn into a sale?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why people get apprehensive. They failed at it in the past. You know, there's a lot.
Don't give too much away. Don't give too much away yet, because we got to take care of some business.
This is
first.
The teaser.
This is the teaser.
So. I'll keep teasing if you don't stop me.
Yeah. No. We gotta get into the beverages. I know you brought one. Yes. You've been wanting to crack it open. So.
Well, that's what I was really thinking, man. That's the. If you really want to talk teas, I went out and got this bad boy earlier today from the Paradox Brewery in the Adirondacks, which is in my area, because I was like, I got to show up with something in my area.
Okay.
And nice.
So what kind of beer is that?
This is a Pilsner.
Okay.
And I've been like drooling to try this ever since I got it.
All right.
You know, my dudes over at Bottle Caps, this is my local little beverage center.
Very nice.
Up. So they said try this because this is an awesome beer.
Yeah, so let's crack it open.
Do this.
See that bad boy.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah. Oh, very well. Very well done. Up next to the mic.
Yeah, man, you're in this podcast style, right?
You are a pro. We usually have to do six.
He's done some listening. You can tell, right, Sean?
We
can't
have to
really do the pour.
Pour is a little tough. It's a good way to get.
Tough.
We've had several accidents on the show that involved laptops and beer. So just,
yeah, I mean, cause you don't really want to have that sound cause the sound means there's some, you know, some, bubbles happening and stuff, which is not necessarily going to work when you try to,
that's right. Let's see what that looks like.
All right. I'm trying to find some like stats on my beer before we, I like that. Just a good clean Pilsner.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how it tastes.
I like the Pilsners.
I'll be going a little bit darker. What do you got, Jonathan? Because I'm just trying to find exactly what is in mine.
I've got a Founders All Day Vacay.
All right.
All Day Vacay, which is a session wheat ale, right? So we're getting bombarded with IPAs and wheat ales lately. So that's all that's available. But I picked this up. This is brand new this week. Just saw it at the local establishment. So not heavy on the ABVs, only 4.6. 20 IBUs. It says you're going to need, so Founders is always a go-to if you're, if you can't find anything and you're unsure, even in the, some of these lighter ales, you might as well say, I'll go Founders, you know, cause I know their porters and stouts are spot on. Right. But, here's a copy from their website. You're going to need a bigger suitcase. All Day Vacay has arrived. Take a well-earned respite from the mundane and let this session wheat ale whisk you away with a slight summery sweetness, complemented by delicate notes of citrus. Whether it's a staycay or a vacay, it's a perfect companion for any type of adventure.
Very nice.
We'll see.
We will see.
That's pretty a nice copy, right?
I mean, like it. Yeah, I like that.
Did you plan that? Do you look for the beers that have nice copy on their website?
No, we look strictly at the cans. We strictly look at the art on the cans.
We're very shallow.
Because I went to the website for Paradox Brewery. It's a picture of the inside of the brewery, and it says Paradox Brewery.
Yeah. One I'm looking at right now is the same way. It's like, here's the beer. Here's a picture of the can. I was like, okay, whatever. Thanks, guys. All the rest of the font, because I'm a little older than you are, Eric, is just too small to even read today. So,
I got to use the website because I'll be taking my glasses off. You put yours on, I take them off. You know? That's what happens with age, man.
All right. So I've got a Buried Hatchet Stout.
I like that. Right. It's literally a buried hatchet.
Yeah.
There's a story behind that name.
I would think so. So the brewery is Southern Star Brewing Company out of Conroe, Texas. So this is another local, semi-local. I mean, it's hard to say local when you're in Texas and it's 1,200 miles across the state, but
like, yeah,
it's a Texas beer. We'll just go with that. So from Conroe, so it is a stout. So I'm looking forward to that. Like you said, Jonathan, trying to get the last of the stouts, but this is a very light, almost like an ale type stout, I do believe.
Yep.
It's a little, that's pretty dark there. It pours light.
Yeah, it looks lighter when it's light. Being poured.
It's, it looks great compared to what I've got.
So, yeah, got some nice color to it. All right, gentlemen. So, Eric, we're going to be, after you take a sip, we're going to do a, not to steal another author's phrase, but we're going to do a simultaneous sip after we clink the glasses to the screen here. There we go. Sometimes it's hard to find the screen. Mm. So the scale, Eric, is 1 to 5 pints. You can do up to 2 decimal points in any order you want.
Yeah, I know the scale, man. I listen to you guys, so I know the scale.
I like the research, and, man.
You know, there hasn't been a whole lot of 5s on your show.
No, there's not.
And there hasn't been a 6.
Uh-oh. Trying to break the scale.
I might break the scale on this one. I really like this one. I don't know. I mean, it's crisp. I just wonder if I'm a little biased right now because I've been thinking about drinking this since I bought it. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, we've had some of those that then you open the can, you're like, oh my God, what was this? This is awful. So no, it could go either way.
No, this is good. I would definitely go 5. I like, it's not heavy. I feel like I'm going to drink 2 of these minimum today and during this podcast. So
yeah.
That's always a good thing to get excited about. Yeah.
I also another brought a 5. All right. Yeah, I think
so. If I could give it a 6, I would. Yeah, I'd go above the scale a little bit, but
yeah, then it wouldn't be a scale. It'd be something else. I don't know.
Right. And I messed it all up. So let's just go with a 5. It's really, really good.
So we'll do this. We'll try to get to 5 pints between the 3 of us because I got 2 beers. You got 2 beers. Jonathan, you got at least 1, if not 2, a second. Hiding yep. there. So yep. we'll try to get to 6 pints on the show in honor of Eric's score. How about that?
Well, so, that sounds like a challenge to me. So we got, and I'm a sales guy and quotas and goals are what we're all about. So
absolutely. Yeah. So no on my problem. Stout, I'm going to do, it's a basic stout with just a hint of coffee, not like a coffee stout, but definitely got a hint of it in there. And since I can't read the copy on the can, I have no idea if it's supposed to be there or not. And I have no idea what the ABV. It's not on the can anywhere or on the site. But it is a four pack, so it's got to be high, whatever it is, right? So I'm going to give it a solid four, just a nice clean four, not quite a five, but good quality stout.
Okay.
Jonathan?
Probably nothing special about this one. I'm going to give this one probably 2.7.
Okay.
2.7, 2.8, something like that.
Yeah,
just nothing, just, nothing that stands out.
You know? I know, man. We like our dark beers, don't we?
Yeah, we do. When I went to the local establishment today, I came so close to picking up the Dragon from last week just because it was so good.
Yeah.
Because that's one I could just drink every week. But
I got to find that.
Eric, we had a five. It was our first five ever. You're the second. So we've had two fives in a row. That's incredible.
That's a record.
I will say,
last week we're keeping it rolling.
Yeah,
that's right.
I will say on Southern Stars Brewery's website, Southern Star Brewing.
Yep.
Their gear is really good. I like their gear, I like their t-shirts and stuff. I'm gonna have to, snag some of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jonathan,
snag some swag.
Should we?
The 5% or by the way.
5%. Yeah. Okay.
You should definitely have two then.
Yeah. Well, I've got this too to step up the game a little bit if I need to.
That's
look at him, man.
So I got some Jim Beam sitting right next to me.
Some Jim Beam honey.
Spike it up a little bit.
I love that's like right behind your desk. It's always there.
Listen, sales and copywriting. If you ain't drinking, you ain't doing it right. Okay.
Exactly.
You guys know that.
Yeah. That's John.
You're in the health industry, though. You know, usually that's sometimes frowned upon. Not always, but.
Well, look, you got to have your moments, right? You have your days where you can kind of let loose a little bit. You know, you do your work all week, you're good to go.
Moderation.
Right. Moderation and everything. Yeah.
And hey, I mean, it's just a supplement. That's all it is. It's a nootropic. That's all it is. Alcohol is a nootropic, basically.
See that?
See, that's good copy right there.
That's right.
I could launch a whole new alcohol empire just talking about it as a nootropic for winding down in the afternoon after a stressful day. This one of a kind ancient nootropic discovered by French monks.
You could sell that.
Oh, wait, I already have some.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's roll into learning how to sell memberships. Yeah. But before we do, Eric, we got to find out a little bit about your background. Because anybody that ends up in sales probably couldn't do anything else with their life if it was like me.
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, not a lot of people like choose to go into sales. They kind of end up in sales. Is that true for you as well? How'd you end up there?
Total opposite.
Really?
That is true though. You do find that a lot in the fitness industry. There's less of that though.
Okay.
Cause you tend to find people who, you know, they have an interest in fitness. They're, they love it. And it's kind of like, I want to help people. I want to, you know, change the world, have a positive impact. So a little bit different vibe with it. I started because my adopted father owned a gym.
Yeah.
So he owned a gym and he said, hey, I'm going to hook you up with a job selling memberships. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. Because like I said earlier, you know, like this is the easiest sale in the world. They come in saying, hey, I need to lose weight. And I have exactly what they're looking for, you know. And so I'm just thinking this is going to be amazing. I get 100% commission. So, I remember first week I had a lady come through. She's like, doctor told me I'm going to die. Got diabetes and, you know, or pre-diabetes, something along those lines. Either she had it or it was soon. And she loved the workout. And I'm like counting money over here, you know, like, look at me, dude, this is going to be nuts. And show her membership. And then she's like, okay, cool. You know, let me go talk to my boyfriend and think about it. And give me a call tomorrow. And I'm just like, think about it. You got to think about death. Like, is that really something you got to think about? I mean, okay, well, you know, being the amazing salesperson that I am, I just counted a sale for tomorrow.
You know? Believed like, her. Yeah.
I absolutely have a sale tomorrow already. Look at how awesome I am. It's not even tomorrow yet, you know? And then call, no answer, no call back, nothing. So
Man,
at that point, when you're on 100% commission and you times 100% by zero, it's zero, right? So I'm not going to make any money. So that's one thing. Now, do I quit? Because I'm and this was after a little while. I was just wasn't good at it. Mm-hmm. But do I quit? One of the compelling reasons for me not to quit was this was a job that my adopted father gave me. Now, this is a guy who chose me. It's not a guy who just happened to have me. He decided I'm going to help this kid out. And now here I am working towards growing his business. And I can't quit. I got to get good at this.
So and how old were you at this time?
15.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Early. So that became my I just obsessed over sales. It was, I started studying. I started going to seminars, listening to cassette tapes. Back then it was cassette tapes. Yeah. And you had to actually go like show up in person at a seminar. Like you couldn't do webinars. They didn't exist.
Right.
You know, and just studied the greats and started fine tuning and tweaking some things and took a bunch of what I learned and developed a unique process for our industry based on what I'm hearing, what I'm experiencing, and just tweaking it until it got to the point where you have a very tough time telling me no when it comes to fitness and selling memberships. And so I launched my own gyms. At one point we had 5 locations. And then I decided this whole time, I used to hire friends, which if we're going to get into another really quick lesson, don't do that. Don't hire friends. Yeah. I mean, it's unless they're qualified. Okay. If they got qualifications, cool. I'm hiring like dudes who used to mow lawns and like worked on a pig farm, you know, worked at a video game store. And here they are coming in to sell memberships for me. But I was able to teach them how to do it.
Yep.
And they got decent at it. So I started thinking, you know, man, maybe I could teach this to everybody and I should write a book, you know? And so in the back of my mind, I just had this idea of writing this book, but I failed English twice in high school. So that was kind of a sign that maybe I'm not going to be a decent writer, you know? By the way,
just fun fact for the listeners. I also failed English in both 7th grade and 10th grade.
I was 8th and 10th.
So it must be part of the success formula that nobody talks about. There's another piece of copy for us right there.
That's right.
Well, you know what it is? If you read the book, it's written in a it's not written like in, like if you could be a 5th grader and understand it.
Yeah.
It's written like that, you know, and not on purpose. I mean, I was kind of actually embarrassed when I found out it was a 5th grade reading level, but it works. You know, so I had some reservations about putting it out. And my wife was just like, you know what? What's going to happen if you put it out? If you don't sell any, no one's going to think you suck because nobody knows, right? Nobody's reading it. Nobody's getting it. I'm like, yeah, okay, risk's kind of low if I don't sell it. But if I do sell a bunch of them, well, then everybody likes it. Oh, you know what? Let's just rock this thing out, put it out. I put it out and literally the day I launched it, went number one, reviews started coming in, people were sharing it, and it stayed number one. It's still in the top, it's a bestseller today, 6 years later. Wow. I screenshot every once in a while, because not that I check it every hour or so, but I know where I rank all of the time, and it's always up there, which is pretty wild considering, again, you know, I failed English twice, but it resonated with people because there was a process for our industry. Finally, you know, right. Like you can listen to the greats like Roger Dawson and you know, Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and Jeff Gittimer, which ironically, I spoke to Jeff Gittimer when my book came out. It was like speaking to the, you know, the Michael Jordan of your genre. You know, I was like, is this real? Like, is this guy really contacting me right now? Yep. It was wild. So,
that's the little red book guy, right? And the little black book and the little
book of cha-ching.
Yeah, that's him. Yep. And so he messaged me. He's like, call me. And I called him and awesome guy. Awesome guy to talk to. And just was, you know, we just went back and forth on a couple things. We had some disagreements, which was interesting because he's like, no, selling's a science. And I was like, yeah, it is a science. But then you get to a point where science becomes art. Like painting's painting science. You got to know colors. You got to know strokes and how things work and all of that good stuff. But there's a point where just having a brush and paint and canvas doesn't make you an artist.
Right.
I try to tell my wife this. I got a 4-year-old son. Okay, he can paint. He's not an artist. I'm not celebrating his paintings right now. He needs some work, okay? You know? He might get there someday. We'll see. But right now, he's just throwing things together, you know? So there's some science you understand to it. Then you get to the art part.
So let's dive into the book a little bit, Eric, and talk about... So I'm looking at the back cover right now on the old Amazon since they show us that kind of stuff. Great invention.
What's the rank on Amazon right now?
Oh, I don't know what the rank is.
Let's see where we're at.
You got a lot of reviews, though. That's.
Let me see where we're at.
Well, especially for our industry. It's one of the most reviewed books in our industry, which is weird. I mean, it's not no Anthony Robbins type reviews where there's like 11,000 reviews, but.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's ranking right now because I just went straight to it. So.
All right, I'll scroll down and I'll tell you where we're
they
at.
They changed.
We're number 30. Number 30 in business sales.
There you go. It's nice.
Good. See, 6 years later, it's still in the top 50. Come on.
That's pretty crazy. Cool. That's evergreen. Evergreen.
So let me ask you this: on your book, anybody in any profession, any industry? I mean, would this work for anyone? I mean, you come out of the fitness industry, obviously selling memberships and things like that. And continuity. I love the whole model of continuity. I think it's one of the best models out there to keep people going. You know, keep people involved. And I'm sure always to some degree on any membership model, you've got a degree of people that fall away, you know, people fall away from time to time, but the whole process, you know, I love residual, you know, that's like, I've always hated like one-time sales, but if you can get a sale that creates residual income and that continues on, that's one of the best models out there. But in your book, you talk about this model. You can apply this to just about anything out there it's online or offline, correct?
Yeah. And we have clients from, I mean, they do baseball training to dog talking training. Like they teach you how to communicate with your dogs, like it's like a boat membership where you, you know, like when you buy a boat, the joke is the times you're the most happiest as a boat owner is when you buy it and when you sell it.
Yep, exactly.
Well, they take away that in between piece because you pay a membership. And then what happens is you just say when you want a boat, roll up there, zip out with a boat, come back, and you can do it as much or as little as you want to use it. Pretty, pretty cool service. So there's a lot of different types of memberships it works for, but it's also something that can be utilized in other industries and other areas. I've consulted with software companies, equipment manufacturers, just a bunch in the past 6 years that I've been doing consulting that I didn't actually start out trying to do that. It kind of turned into that. I wasn't one of those guys who said, oh, let me write a book and develop a funnel and, you know, have an upsell and a downsell and a coursework. I had a book. It was $20. So when I got an email saying, hey, we want more, I'm like, more what? More pages? You want me to write some more pages in there? I mean, I don't know what more you want. It's in the damn book. I didn't write it like a brochure. I gave you what I got, man. You know, but it was like, we want you to train our team. And I'm like, okay, well, I just threw a friggin' number out there and they were like, okay, deal. And then I was like, oh, damn, how do I train? I don't even know what I'm doing right now. I don't know how I'm going to do consulting. And the dude was in Australia on top of that. So I was like, because it went number one in Australia too. So I was like, what the heck? I don't know how to do this. I didn't know how to record with the earbuds. I was trying to do it on Skype. I'm telling you, it was a whole mess. So I don't even know what you asked me. I just went off on a tangent because I started thinking about background.
So Eric, you on the back of the book, it talks about a 5-step process anyone can master. So can you walk us through the 5 steps and then we might dive into some like deeper stuff, but let's start with the 5-step kind of outline that people can kind of track and we'll go from there.
Yeah. But that was what we were getting at. It can work in any industry.
Right.
That's what made me go off on a tangent. But anyway, so the 5 steps. First is you have to have you have to take leads from being leads to opportunities. Right. So that requires getting them through a fear phase, fear of showing up, fear of it's a fear of showing up. They're afraid that they're the only beginner. They're afraid that they're going to show up and be the only person who's out of shape. Or let's say a parent bringing their kid in for martial arts lessons. The parent's afraid they're going to bring their kid. Why do they bring their kids in? Because they need discipline, and the kid's got ADHD and he's misbehaving in school. So the parent's afraid they're going to show up and their kid's going to be the bad kid, and they're going to look like a bad parent. Those right. kinds of things are what you're dealing with on that first step. The second step is about really understanding what it is they're there for. What is their problem? Not what is my solution, but what is their problem? And really understanding it. And then not the problem is the surface of it, but what about that problem do they want, bothers them? And what do they see the benefit of dealing with this problem being? Right? So I want to lose 20 pounds. That's just a random number. It's random because the person coming in isn't even a real number. They just say, well, that sounds like a good number I should be at. Or they went on Google and they said, oh, I got to do this minus this multiplied by this, and that should be my weight. Mm-hmm. But why? What if you're there, what are you going to get out of it? What's going to be so great about being 20 pounds lighter than you are now? Oh, I'm going to have a six pack. Now we're getting closer. Mm-hmm. Where's the six pack get us? I can take my shirt off on the beach. We're getting even closer. What's taking your shirt off on the beach going to do?
Well, not be embarrassed.
Attract somebody that I want. You know what I mean?
Get some women. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And then what's the problem with where you're at now? Why is it a problem that you aren't attracting the person you want? Male, female, whatever. What's the problem with it? Who cares? What's the big deal? Everybody's walking around overweight right now. Why do you want to be so different?
Right.
Right. That's the motivation behind it. So you really got to understand that. And there's some things in there too, like in our industry, that are specific. Most everybody's tried to accomplish this goal and failed. That's a big obstacle for them later when it comes down to paying you money.
Yeah.
Right. Because I've already failed at this before. Now here I am again. I'm about to pay this dude some money. I'm going to end up quitting all over again. You know, so there's some specific things in there in the front of it. Then there's the experience part. Step three is allow them to experience what you got. Whether it's a workout, whether it's a boat, whether it's your software, whatever it is. You allow them to have that experience.
So we've talked about this before, Eric, and I think this is a great point. I think it's way underutilized, and it kind of goes back to the idea of demonstration. You look at the longest lasting commercials we talk about on this show. We've talked about Bounty, right? And I think it was David Ogilvy. He said like demonstration sells, right? Mm-hmm. And Bounty, the quicker picker upper, like they've and Pampers and all these, you know, now Depends, and it's a 2 second, 3 second demo. So you kind of get to vicariously experience what it's like to use the product. Okay. So how long in your industry does demonstration need to be? Like, do you take them over to a weight machine and give them 30 seconds? Do you show them let them take a spin class? Like, or is it like a 3 day pass? Like,
here's what's going to happen. Step three is having them. The third step is having them experience it. Right.
Right.
But step two, I'm ending with a negative.
Okay.
So you're going to tell me why it sucks being 20 pounds overweight. And you know what that's going to make you feel like? How you terrible. Feel? Terrible. Yeah, terrible. Like crap. Yeah. Like whatever. Right? And you're going to have this like lower self-esteem piece that you came in with. Because we were just talking about the great things about it. You're going to take your shirt off. You see all these girls flocking to you or whatever. You know, I got to get you back to reality, man. That ain't happening right now. Right. And so what happens is you go into the workout and you kind of have a little bit of a down feeling. All I need is to get that heart rate up. Get that heart rate up, endorphins start going, you start feeling great about yourself. And it does something that's very, very important. It creates contrast. Because it makes, if you go from on a high note to another high note, it's not the same effect. But if you go on a high note and then down, and then you actually work out and now you're feeling great again, it's like a good movie. Why do they do this in movies? Like the hero comes out and, oh man, just saved the day, and bam, something hits him like a bus from the left just took him out. You're like, oh my God, that's the end. Dang it, man. I thought this dude was going to really do it. Next thing you know, he's like picking the bus up and flying somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It's the same idea. We respond to that. And in that contrast, in that workout, it's a feeling that you can really get. So it doesn't need to be a big, long thing. Back in the day when I started selling memberships, we didn't have classes or any of that. At least no one was really taking. I mean, it was back in the day that the aerobics was the class. So dudes ain't coming through there and trying to aerobics class out. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't happening. So all I got to do here, hang on to this dumbbell. I want you to do some curls and I want you to walk on this treadmill for 3 minutes. They come off that thing. Oh man, how you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling good. That's 3 minutes, dude. Imagine if you were, you know, that kind of a thing. I just need to get that to elevate their self-image a little bit so they can get a little taste of it.
So now, before you move on, this reminds me of, we've talked about this on the show. There's a book or a TED Talk too, by Nancy Duarte. I don't know if you've seen it, Eric, but she analyzes like the greatest speeches in history, like the Steve Jobs iPhone launch and the Martin Luther King Jr. speech and Kennedy's moonshot speech. And she noticed the same exact pattern you're talking about. Like it's here's where you are, here's where you could be. Here's where you are, here's where you could be. Here's where you are, here's where you could be. And it's this back and forth movement. So I think it's fascinating that you kind of discovered that on your own and created a sales framework around it.
Yeah. So discovery on your own, there's part of really developing a process. And this is the difference. I didn't regurgitate something from somebody else. I didn't go, I learned this from so-and-so and here it is.
Yeah.
Repackaged. That's a lot of guru stuff out there right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I learned this from Russell Brunson, free book plus shipping and boom. It's like, they don't even try. It's
instant millionaire. Instant millionaire.
Like they aren't even trying to do different. It's literally like he's got, you know, traffic secrets or .com secrets, whatever the heck he's doing right now. And I love Russell, by the way, but everybody's secrets now.
Yeah.
There's every guru has an X secrets book out. That's different. This is taking something that you've learned, reading books on psychology, reading books on neuro-linguistic programming, taking courses on it, going to seminars on it. And somehow what happens is it starts to like just become this realization when you take that and you apply it with experience. And it starts to just form these things out. And there's so much psychology in it. On the surface of it, you start to go, okay, yeah, it's a sales process. But when you have some background, like what you're talking about, you start to go, damn. And not to sound arrogant, but you start to think there's some kind of genius stuff in here. Like, how does that psychology that he just talked about, how did he figure out how to make that and be part of it? Yep. It's because of all these other references kind of coming together. And then you have experience to mesh it out a little bit and hash it out a little bit.
That's the thing. Like you can read and listen to these podcasts and all this stuff all day long. But when it comes, especially sales, I think, and sales and marketing, but sales especially. Jonathan's, you know, he sells in front of people at boardroom tables and everything else. Mm-hmm. I've sold in home. I've sold in print. You've sold face to face, belly to belly. And it's one thing to read about it, and it's another thing to like experience it and to sit across and see a human face, even more so than copy, right? You can get results and numbers back, but there is something about in-person selling that just gives you the wisdom that you cannot get any other way.
You can't.
No doubt.
And even in copy, you got to do it. You've got to fail at it. You've got to you've got to learn from other things, and instead of just copying and regurgitating things,
yep,
you've really got to go through some experiences and learn. If you want to, I mean, be great, you know, because you can learn fundamentals. You can, you know, read some Gary Halbert and some follow some John Carlton, you know, and get some fundamentals from them. But you still got to kind of go through your experience. And really, that's the only way you're really going to learn it. And then it doesn't mean you're going to be able to teach it either. It doesn't mean you're going right. to be able yeah. to, you know, pass that on to people. You know, so, yeah, I think it's important across the board. And when you're looking for somebody to learn from, that experience piece of it is extremely important.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I didn't start out writing ads, and especially as it relates to digital ads, because that's the, you know, the rave. But what happened was I have an understanding of our prospects that's deeper than any agency that's out there.
Right.
Because I've dealt with thousands and thousands of them. I still deal with them today. I'm the director of marketing sales for Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping. And I still deal with them. We have almost 60 locations across the country.
So I still deal with it. I think this is really important for like a lot of listeners who have not done face-to-face, belly-to-belly selling. I've told my copywriters that, you know, work for me in my agency as like, you need to go get a part-time job selling Kirby vacuum cleaners or something. Yeah.
If you can do that. Now, you know, I did say that membership sales was the hardest thing, but that might be a close second, or there might be a tie in there.
I tell you, timeshare is pretty tough. I've done timeshare.
The thing with timeshare though is you keep them in, and it's almost like you ain't letting them out until they say yes.
Yeah. Like, it's more like a wrestling match.
Kind of like that too. Like yeah. I'm not leaving your house.
Yeah.
And you got all the little tricks. You put the little suitcase out on the driveway to signal that I'm having some issues over here. And the manager rolls in, hey, you're going to lose your job. You know, like all these little hard sell tactics that they use.
Oh yeah.
I know a lot about that.
Now you got guys on XM selling how to get out of timeshares. I mean, so that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it's, there's something about face-to-face selling because you get the instant feedback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in copy, you get an overall feedback. If you sell something online, you see the conversion rate numbers, you see that stuff, but you don't get the line by line furrowed brow,
right?
Arms crossed,
the nonverbal, which is
all the nonverbal stuff.
Because even on the, over the phone, you can't get the, you can't get all the nonverbal communication because you can sense things, you know, and that's why I hate getting on the phone call with people. I'd rather sit face to face with somebody because so much can be said for nonverbal communication. Like you said, Sean, if they, you know, furrow the brow, if they,
roll their eyes,
scratch their nose, roll their eye, you know, if they sit back in their chair, you know, that tells me everything right there in a conversation.
Yep.
And it gives me some kind of cues during that conversation of which way to go just by the way they're shifting.
Yeah, in their chair. And you learn to like instantly pivot. Right. And, you develop this, I think, second sense.
Absolutely.
Of like, if I say this, that usually doesn't work out well. And, and in copy, I don't know that you get that line by line experience like you do in face to face sales.
You
know what I mean?
Try to figure it out, but you,
right.
But that one line really pissed people off.
Yeah. Well, it's like stand up comedians, right? It's like they practice their set and they know each joke and which joke's going to perform the best. So they put their best first, their second best last, their third best in the middle. You know, there's a very clear structure for comedians to pull that off. So yeah, it's, if I could give people listening any advice, it's like as painful as it is, I know we're in a pandemic world or wherever we're at in this world, like when we're allowed to go back out and get yourself a face-to-face selling job, or at very least like an on the phone selling job, Zoom selling job, because you will learn so much so fast. Like you don't even have to, you don't even have to make sales. I mean, it's fun if you do, but you'll learn so much so fast.
You'll learn what you're made of. You'll learn how to get through tough, challenging situations. Sure. You know, it is difficult to, especially in most sales jobs, they don't train you.
Right.
You know, this,
no, they don't.
I got awards all over the place. So
you figure it out.
My little diamond ring I got for being on sales leadership council.
Yeah.
You know, I got a plaque up here. I didn't get training from those companies until after I won those awards.
Yeah. I choose
the way it goes. How ass backwards is that, man?
And then they untrain you. They untrain you.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, I'm going to hire a salesperson and bam, good luck. Go get some sales. You just learn. It's very, that is a very difficult thing to succeed at. But you learn how to deal with those, you know, people fear rejection, or they feel one of the biggest things they fear. I'll tell you right now in sales, they fear what might happen. They're making it up. Mm-hmm. They're prejudging the response to what they're doing before it even happens.
Yep.
And so they stop before they even do it. Like, oh, I'm going to say this, and they're going to think I'm being salesy. Well, did you say it? No. Well, how do you know they're thinking how do you know it's going to happen? Yeah. You got to do it. You know, like,
right.
Don't.
That's part of the reason you were comfortable. You know, you shared the example earlier. The person said, I'll get back with you. Or you're like more than happy to say, okay, I'll put that off. Like you were chalking that up. I'll get that sale another day. But you were comfortable pushing that off because you were avoiding the fear or the anxiety of having to confront them on why not today, right?
Yeah. So the confrontation piece, they think it needs to be aggressive. But right. I thought when somebody tells me they're coming back tomorrow or they're calling tomorrow, that was real. Yeah. Like I was really, that's a sale, you know? Yeah, and a lot of us think that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They think, okay, you know what's going to happen? The prospect's going to go home. They're going to think about it. What they're going to do is they're going to get their whiteboard out. You know, they watch Russell Brunson with his whiteboard. And they're going to do all of these calculations.
That's right.
And they're not.
Because they're thinking about you the whole time after that meeting.
You think they're going to do the Ben Franklin close on themselves, right? Exactly. Oh, here's the pros. Here's the cons.
Right.
Oh, exactly. I need to go back. Oh, this is obviously for me. I need to go back and talk to Russell. Eric. Sorry.
Right.
Look at your last name there. But, yeah. So like, okay. So let's get back to the 5 points we talked about. Number one is uncovering the fear of showing up. Number two is understanding what they really fear, their problem. Three is allowing them to experience what you get. So what's step four?
Well, I want to just clarify a couple things. One is about getting the lead to an opportunity.